Coming to you from the North Pole, the Christmas capital of the world, it's episode 9 of Game On with Cody and John.
On this episode, it's a very special Game On.
John and I will get into the holiday spirit by playing our most hated games, The Settlers of Catan and Carcassonne.
All this and much more on Game On with Cody and John.
Well, howdy gamers. This is Game On with Cody and John. I'm Cody.
And I'm John. Welcome to the Uncommon Podcast for the Common Gamer. We're a podcast about all kinds of tabletop games, board games, card games, even the occasional role-playing game.
Someday.
One of these days. Cody, how's it going?
It's going very well. Your Indianapolis Colts are on a completely precedented 7-game winning streak for the 5th year in a row.
Amazing. And on their way, hopefully, to the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Of course, where we will win.
I certainly hope so. Now, one team that will not be winning any championships this year is the Texas Longhorns College Football Club.
Get a hold of your life.
And this, I got to say just one thing. I know we're not a college football podcast, but Sam Bradford from Oklahoma won the Heisman Trophy this year, and very deserving. He's a very, very good player. But I'm just amazed by the fact that Oklahoma has found just about every way to beat Texas this year. Except on the field.
I see what you did there.
Except on the field.
That's clever. Now,
just saying.
I would not have picked Sam Bradford for the Heisman Trophy. I believe Mr. Tim Tebow of Florida was the clear winner.
Well, that about wraps up this episode of Game On. I'm out of here.
Just saying.
I don't think so. Well, enough of the college football and the pro football as usual. Let's get on to some gaming topics.
Let's. And we've got a very special Game On for you this episode. It's a holiday-themed one, if you will.
That's right. The holidays are a great time for getting together with family and, you know, reconciling a bit. Maybe
sure.
You see that crazy uncle that you haven't seen for a year, and maybe you guys have had a bit of a falling out. And Christmas and these holidays are the times to get people back together. And so we're going to try to reconcile with some of the games that we've played in the past that we hate. Matter of fact, our probably most hated games. For Cody, it's the dreaded, hated... You guys all know it if you've listened to the show.
Carcassonne.
That's right. And for me, it's a game that I haven't probably said a whole lot about as far as disliking.
But he does not like it.
I am not a fan.
Does not care for it.
I'm not a fan of Catan.
No.
So I'm not a fan of Settlers of Catan, but we're going to revisit these games in our special Game On. We're not doing the big deal. We're not doing By Try or Deny. We're doing... a very special Game On.
That's right. The Christmas special, if you will. We are casting aside all of our prejudices for these games, and we're going to give them a fair shake because it's the holidays, and that's what we do.
That's right. You can just sort of imagine us right now sitting here in our holiday sweaters with maybe a scarf, a cup of hot chocolate. We got the fire in the background, you know, like a floppy-eared dog laying down in a rug in front of the, you know, just nice stuff. Stockings hung, you know.
Fantastic.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. But, of course, something else we do is the Game On inbox, and we can't ignore that.
No, I mean, even though it's a special Game On, we gotta double-click on that inbox.
There are rules, so we will do that right
now. It's time for the Game On inbox. Here you'll find gaming news, information, discussion, as well as feedback from you, the listener. Send questions, comments, and brilliant ideas to gameoninbox@gmail.com. That's gameoninbox@gmail.com. Let's double-click on our inbox and see what we find. Well, welcome to the Game On Inbox. As always, we're going to start off with some games we've been playing. Cody, what have you been playing lately?
Well, something I haven't played yet, but I just bought a supplement for is... apparently, with Talisman switching from Black Industries to good old Fantasy Flight Games, they've released an upgrade pack for people who own the Black Industries version that changes the cards and some of the character tokens and all that. Basically, so it gets your game ready for any future expansions that are coming up. I had no idea this was coming out. So I just saw it at my local game store while I was Christmas shopping. And if you're listening and you may be the kind of person I would have bought this for Christmas, don't go out and buy it. But so I've upgraded everything. The new cards look great. They've clarified a lot of the rules. And I'm looking forward to playing it again, actually.
Now, does this upgrade pack come with the plastic miniatures? Because I heard
yes.
that the... Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. $20.
Really?
Yeah, American.
Because I have a copy of the Black Industries version, too, so I think I'm going to have to pick that up.
Yeah, it's not bad. The cards are a lot better. It has the plastic miniatures. It introduces the new Fate tokens, which are... It's an interesting new role mechanic.
Can you still be turned into a frog?
Oh, absolutely. And there's actually four toad pieces,
really?
Like with different bases. So if like three players are a toad, you can separate them out because they're that standard Fantasy Flight... Gunmetal gray, you know.
See, I figured that when Fantasy Flight took this over, that they were gonna go chrome on it.
Yeah,
so,
it's
cool.
It everything looks good. So for $20, you can future proof your version of Talisman Fourth Edition.
Nice.
And other things I've been playing. Still very active in RPGA, though my love for D&D 4th Edition is beginning to wane.
Really?
Yeah, it's I'm starting to kind of see through the veil, and it's really just war game sessions at this point. So
not as much role playing.
No, it's I mean, I know a lot of it's the group you're with, but I'm just not getting that much fun out of it anymore. Maybe I'm just burnt out. I've been playing it a lot.
Well, do you think that part of that is due to the fact that it's RPGA?
Oh, I think that's a big part, but the game itself tends to reward combat over role playing. That's just how it's built. So
you're not going to get a whole bunch of XP for putting forth a good accent for your gnome.
Right, exactly. So you know, the game I run as a home game, I run a pulp game using Hollow Earth Expedition, but I'm actually switching that over to Savage Worlds, which is it's a role-playing system that's been around for a little bit, but its tagline is fast, furious, fun. It's just all about getting in there, having fun, rules light but still rules relevant.
Now, I've been playing in your Hex game for uh-huh. few months now, so I'm interested in this. You and I haven't had a chance to really talk about Savage Worlds very much. What is the dice system like in comparison? Is it D20 or is it completely different from Ubiquity?
It uses dice ranging from mainly a D4 to a D12, and your attributes and your skills will use one of these dice as a base, and that gauges how good you are at something. If you're not a very strong character, you may have a strength of a D4. But say you're a really smart character, your smarts will be a D12. And things like that, even the names of some of the things, like it's not intelligence, it's smarts.
Oh, okay.
And it's not your melee combat skill, it's your fighting skill.
Oh, so it's got a little bit of snark to it.
Yeah, it's tongue in cheek, but it's a great system. It's it makes a lot more sense, and it's not quite as rules heavy as Hex was, and Hex wasn't even that rules heavy, but
yeah.
It's it doesn't take itself too seriously, and it's adaptable to any system. There's already modules out there for kind of a modern horror version, a pulp version, westerns, fantasy. It's very versatile, and I'm looking forward to running it here soon.
Wow. You know, a fellow podcaster of ours, Ron Blessing, who does the podcast The Game's the Thing, uh-huh. out of Arizona, he's a huge Savage Worlds fan, so I've heard a lot of really good things about it, so I'm anxious to get in on that.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes, and the great thing is the rulebook's $10.
Really?
That's all you need, $10, bam.
Is it a PDF rulebook for $10?
It's PDF for $10, or the hard copy for $10.
Oh, wow.
And it's a little like a 6x9 book, like you can just kind of pack it in with you, but it's great. I have it. I really like it.
Oh, so. Cool. I'll have to pick up a copy of that.
Definitely.
It's
check
bucks.
It out. What have you been playing, John?
We had a kind of a game night about a week and a half ago. Unfortunately, Cody and I, our schedules didn't really sync up for this particular night. So
my bad.
That's all right. So we had some friends from work over. I have a kind of a little fledgling game group at my job.
I'm jealous.
Started with our good friend Single L and has blossomed to about three or four other people. So... it's been really surprising that got a lot of more folks that are interested in hobby gaming now. But we had an opportunity to play the game that we reviewed on last episode of the show, Red November. It's a cooperative game about Russian gnomes trying to go and fix a dying submarine before it gets, you know, crushed and blown up.
Did you save the sub?
We did not save the sub. We were really close, though. And You know, Cody and I, we reviewed this on the show, like I said, last episode, and Cody gave it a try. I gave it a buy, but the experience that we had with this 5-player game last week with me and my other coworkers, it was an absolute blast, and it was a buy plus actually after that game. And we were all just, you know, waiting, for, you know, all getting over that D10, you know, to see if the die roll was going to be good. And the thing that was funny is that in this group, you know, we would be almost to the point of destruction, to one of those destruction tokens, and someone would still say, I think I'll take 4 minutes to try to fix this door. It's like, are you sure you want to take 4 minutes, seeing as the fact we're almost dead? So it's like we had a bunch of casino gamblers that wanted to you know, risk it in the game. But it was a lot of fun. So we got a game into that, even though we all died a horrible Nomi death. But
that's the best way to go.
Yeah. Then we actually split up into two groups, and Single L and our new gaming friend, I didn't have a chance to think up a good name for him, but we're going to call him Dougie Fresh.
Dougie Fresh.
Yep.
We're hip.
Dougie Fresh Breath.
All right.
Why not?
You work with him. I'm just here.
And so Dougie Fresh and Single L got into like a little 2-player Magic thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Doug is just now learning how to play Magic, and Single L is teaching him.
Horribly addicted to Magic.
Oh, my gosh. It's an endless spiral downward. So the two of them played Magic, and then I got in a game with the other two guys that were there of Shadows Over Camelot.
Great game.
So it ended up being kind of a cooperative game night, and we did a 3-player game, and we used the rule where that they suggest in the rule book that if you're playing with 3 players, you don't play with a traitor.
Yeah.
Because that makes it really, really hard. And we actually did end up winning the game, but it was very, very close.
Did you complete the Excalibur quest?
Yeah, we completed that one. Do you mean the Grail quest? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean the Grail one. The one that you can't win.
That one's always real difficult. Right. Yeah. No, we lost that one pretty much on purpose.
Yeah.
And but it was
that one's there to lose.
Yeah. But I think it was a 7-5 white sword victory for the Knights.
Huzzah.
Yeah. You know, like I said, we've been playing Magic pretty much every week at lunch, and that's a lot of Magic. And
it is.
All the guys I play with now like the game a lot more than I do now.
See, we're both getting burnt out in Wizards of the Coast.
And maybe that's it.
We got to turn in our t-shirts.
That's true, yeah.
We're done.
One last thing, as far as not a game that I played yet, but one that just came in the mail, is I got a copy of the new Fantasy Flight game by Kevin Wilson, Android. Yes,
I'm happy.
And this game has gotten a whole lot of buzz on Board Game Geek and other online sites. Big bombastic dystopian murder mystery game. A lot of really different mechanics than other games that I've seen. And it looks really well put together. I looked at the components and everything. We'll see if we want to do a buy, try, or deny on that one in the future. It's a real big game, so if we do, it might be a few episodes down the road, but stay tuned, and we'll at least be talking about it, because we're going to be playing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, as always, in the Game On Inbox, we're going to get into some gaming news, and John, what do you got for us?
All right, well, I just picked up a couple of game news items here, just about some new games that are going to be coming out soon in the future. One game that I had learned about through the Spiel podcast from Mindware Games is a game called Quirkle, which is kind of like Scrabble, except it uses tiles that have colors and shapes on them, and you get points for making patterns of particular colors or numbers of symbols and that kind of a thing. Really fun game. Actually bought this for my father-in-law last year, and he really enjoyed it. Got the word here that Susan McKinley Ross, who's the designer of Quirkle, has a sequel that's going to be coming out in 2009, and this game is going to be called Quirkle Cubes. And so it has a lot of the same colors and shapes and basic idea as the game Quirkle, except these will be cubes, so you get to roll them on your turn like dice.
Yes.
And
I'll buy 3 copies.
That'll help to sort of mix things up a bit as far as which symbols and which colors that you get. So that looks like that might be a lot of fun. It looks like it's going to be released sometime in maybe March of 2009, and it'll retail for about $25. So be sure to check that one out.
Very nice. And another news item here in the inbox is a campaign book for Memoir 44 from Days of Wonder. It's going to be a hardcover book of different scenarios for Memoir 44. And it's very interesting. It looks like, you know, you can do the Battle of Normandy, the looks like the Blitzkrieg to the West, and then Operation Barbarossa.
Yeah, I think there's actually going to be a total of 51 scenarios in the book.
Wow.
And the book will have like over 100 pages. So for anyone who's interested in Memoir 44 and that system, this will add a whole bunch more replayability.
That's a game I need to give another shake. It's like we kind of played it once. I mean, we'd already played like Battle Lore and all that, so you know, it's similar. But I'd like to give that one another shake. But this will definitely breathe some life into it. If you're a big Memoir 44 fan, definitely be on the lookout for this.
And this will also serve as kind of our first look in 2009 to see if Days of Wonder releases any games in 2009 that don't have something to do with Memoir 44 or Ticket to Ride.
Right. Ticket to Ride, Memoir 44 edition.
That'd be great. The Germans have to make train routes.
You cannot stop us.
Right.
But something else that's coming out for a popular game as an incentive, buy Pandemic, get a virus. Now, John, you're the scientist here, so why don't you give us a scoop?
Well, that's right. If you happen to have not already purchased your copy of Pandemic, that great cooperative game about ridding the world of disease.
That decent cooperative game.
It's a great cooperative game.
You heard what I said.
All right. And if you want to purchase it from the company Best Dang Games...
That's a great name.
Best Dang
Games. Best Dang Games. Hee-haw.
Well, then you can get a special deal going on right now where if you buy Pandemic, you will get your own free giant microbe. And these are these giant plush kind of stuffed animal microbes, and you can choose from one of four, and they match the colors of the diseases that are in the game. So there's the common cold. You can get HIV, flesh-eating virus, or even hepatitis C.
I like the look of that common cold one.
The common cold one.
It's cute.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a light blue. It's he's very cute. So yeah, if you haven't had a chance to pick up Pandemic, now would be a great time to go check out Best Dang Games. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Is it still hard to find, or is it pretty easy to get now?
No, they've re-released it, reprinted it, so it's you can.
I was
find
about
it.
To say I saw some at Game Preserve, our friendly local gaming store. Well, yeah, our local gaming store. I don't think they're that friendly.
Occasionally friendly.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had several copies of it, and yeah, I think it's pretty easy to find these days. So go check it out.
Very good. We did get some listener feedback in the Game On inbox, and of course, we always love listener feedback.
We do.
And we had some good feedback regarding the Hoosier Gamers episode, the Game On location, as it were.
That's right, yeah. And we even had one listener, Alan Stucker, who posted on our guild saying that he's going to try to make it to HoosierCon in March. So, Alan, if you happen to see us there, come introduce yourself to us, and we'd love to get to know you better. And any of you other listeners out there that might be interested in coming to HoosierCon in March, feel free and come look us up. We'd love to game with you.
Absolutely. Send us an email if you think you'll be able to make it, and we'll get an impromptu Game On hootenanny together.
We're good at those hootenannies.
We are quite skilled with the hootenannies. So, yeah, let us know if we're coming. We'd love to see you. And the best part, it's free.
That's right.
So HoosierCon.com, make sure you check it out. And, of course, if you'd like to leave us any other feedback, talk at us, praise us, or berate us, you can reach us at the Game On Inbox.
That's GameOnInbox@gmail.com.
And you can also check out our website at GameOnPodcast.com for any other relevant information, including links to our guild on BoardGameGeek.com.
Now, one final note in the Game On Inbox before we close it down for this episode.
This is big.
It's been a couple episodes since we've had a contest, and I think it's time. It's, you know, it's the holidays.
The hour is nigh.
And so, Cody, why don't you tell us a little bit about this contest and the prize that they'll be going for?
Absolutely. The contests we've had in the past have usually been send in a something, post a something, but it all turns out to be a random draw, and we know Sam Healy of the Dice Tower hates random draws.
Yeah, too much luck.
Now, since it is the Christmas season, and I would really love Battlestar Galactica, the board game, we are going to dig into the Game On coffers and buy Battlestar Galactica, the board game, to give to one of you.
That's right. Yeah, all those donations that have come in, you know, the donations that we've collected, we're gonna put that towards a game for you.
Absolutely. But
there's a bit of a catch.
There is a catch. we need you to convince us why we should send you this fantastic game.
That's right. Previous contests, like Cody says, have been random draws, and our friend Jesse Hickel did come up with the name of our gaming event. Absolutely. We're going to be having early next year. So he did a little bit of work, but we want to make you work for this one a little bit. So, you know, we want you to email us at gameoninbox@gmail.com.
That's the place to email us.
And we want you to tell us why you think you deserve to receive a brand new spanking copy of Battlestar Galactica, the board game.
And there's no holds barred if you want to do this through song, video, interpretive dance, however you want to do it. We'll take the entry we feel is most worthy to receive this excellent game, and we will ship you a copy, brand spanking new, Battlestar Galactica, the board game.
Right.
Sounds easy enough.
It sounds pretty cool. So we want you to send those emails in, and we probably will read your email on the air, so, you know, if it needs to be edited, we may do that. But you know, just send us in your reasons why, you know, you're the most deserving recipient of Battlestar Galactica, the board game. So
absolutely. And you will have until Sunday, December 28th, to send those emails in. So make sure you get something good and get it in fast, or you might miss out on Battlestar Galactica, the board game.
That's right. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for the Game On Inbox for this episode.
Oh, boy. Time to put on our special sweaters.
That's right. And get our cups of hot cocoa and get some little Christmas cookies out and start talking about those games that we really need to reconcile with. It's a very special Game On for the holidays.
God help us all. Well, gamers, it's time for a very special Game On where John and I will go over our most hated games and see if a Christmas miracle has occurred and we have changed our view on them. So we'll start with John. And John, what is your most loathed game?
Well, I have to kind of qualify the answer here because...
Oh, jeez. Just give a straight answer.
No. I'm a podcaster. I love to talk.
Sure. Do it.
Well, you know, there's lots of games in the mass market that I think are just absolutely horrid. So, but what I really wanted to, what we're really talking about here, what you're asking me is what's my least favorite hobby game, right?
Yes. What's your least favorite hobby game? That's exactly what I was going
to
ask.
Okay. It would have to be, strangely enough, Settlers of Catan.
Now, why do you hate this game so much? It is a classic. It is beloved by all. Well, most.
It is probably one of the first, if not the first Euro game that sort of came over to America in the mid-90s and took the whole gaming hobby by storm. It really was probably the first Euro game that I ever played. I didn't actually play the original game of Settlers of Catan first. I played the sort of Christianized version called Settlers of Canaan, which is a pretty good version of the game because it has all the same elements to it and the resource mechanics. It has a fixed board, which makes the strategy a little bit different, and it also has a mechanic where you're building the walls of Jerusalem, but it's basically the same game. Those mechanics definitely don't make it any more or less painful than it already is. But to answer your question, I guess the reason why I don't like it is because I've had too many games of it that are just flat. You know, I'm not saying that every game that you play has to be the best gaming experience all the time. And, you know, I think even some of my favorite games, I've had times when I played them and they've just sort of fallen flat just because of the mood of the players or whatever. Huh. But I just have had too many experiences with this game just being too dependent on what kind of people you have around the table. And for being such a great gateway game and a game that's supposed to bring people into the hobby and is so different from all these other games, I just have had too many times just sitting there staring across the table saying, "So, do you want to give me a brick for a wood? No? Okay, I guess I'm done trading. Who's the next person to roll the dice and get probably a 7?
Wow.
You know, so it's just not fun. It's not a fun game.
But see, I do think that game does hinge a lot on the players, but I think it's more there's strategy in it. I think you do have to trade, sure, but you can orient yourself to where trading's not that big of a factor.
Yeah, it's not even really it's not really that it's just even the trading. There is definitely strategy in the game. I can't deny that. It's just not any fun. I mean, it just sort of seems like it's
tense when people are around 9 victory points. Now, of course, you need 10 to win, and you're waiting for that last fateful die roll, huh?
Not so much. It just seems to be just sort of this big card collection fest. Especially if you make a bad decision early in the game, and you happen to build a settlement someplace where, you know, nowhere near brick or nowhere near ore, which always seem to be the things that people are trying to get. And you spend the whole time trying to bargain with the one guy at the table who decided to build 3 settlements next to ore.
That's why you expand. That's why you go to 2-to-1 ports.
I know, but the problem is I just get to the point every time in this game of I don't really care. And when you ever get to the point of I don't care, then, you know, you just hang it up. It's like you with 1960, The Making of the President. You said it a couple episodes ago, you know, if you don't care, then, you know.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And that's just the point that I get to every time I play Settlers is I just don't care. I don't want to trade with you.
You're the belligerent settler of Catan.
Right.
The hermit of Catan. But you did get a chance to play this recently.
I did. And so I wanted to give it a fresh look. It a fresh look.
I was playing in this game.
Yes. Uh-huh. And, you know, after giving it another look, I still don't like it. I mean,
it's the spirit of Christmas.
I still think it's not... of all the hobby games that have come out in the last, let's say, 15 years, Settlers really drops pretty far down the list to me, I think. And for what it was back in 1995, let's say, I could see how it was a revolutionary game and different from what had come out in the past. But I just think there's so many more games that have come out that are better than it that I still can't give it a great recommendation. Now, I do have an appreciation for the fact that one big thing about Settlers that makes it different and better than other games is that there's something for everybody to do on everybody's turn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one person's going to roll the dice, but everybody gets to collect those cards and everybody gets to participate in the game at all points in the game. So there's not like a lot of downtime where you can just say, oh, you know, my turn's over. I'm going to go get a beer and I'll see you in 15 minutes, you know?
Right.
So that's a good thing about the game. I'll grant it that.
Is Settlers a top 20 game for you?
No.
No?
No.
That's bold.
No. You know, I don't even own this game because I don't like it. But I went ahead and bit the bullet and I purchased a copy just a week ago because there was a really good deal for it online. And so I figured it just has to be one of those things to put in my collection. I will still bring it out to introduce people to European games, much in the same way that I'll bring Magic out to introduce people to collectible card games, because I feel like it's just sort of...
flagship, if you
will. Exactly. So, you know, you can't really be a... I don't feel like you can really be a true gamer unless you know how to play Magic, and I don't think you can really be a true gamer unless you know how to play Settlers of Catan, even though I don't like it. So I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, sure. Have you ever played with Seafarers?
Well, that was what was something I was about to bring up, because my dislike for the game is based just on the base game. I've actually never played Settlers with any of the expansions. A lot of you listeners out there, you might be able to recommend some expansions that might make this game better for me or a better experience. But no, I've never done that.
Well, see, I don't think adding the expansions will suddenly change your mind on it. The game is a little more interesting with Seafarers. It adds some new elements.
What exactly does it add?
I've only played it a few times. It adds ships, obviously, and there's different resources kind of on a different little island, and it changes up a little bit of strategy, but the main thrust of the game is the same.
Okay.
Now, Cities and Knights of Catan, I would tell you to avoid, actually. Oh, well, you may like it. It may change the game for you. It's basically like... Say Settlers of Catan is a soup.
Okay.
I'm going somewhere with this. And Seafarers, you know, add some pepper to it, you know. It's still a soup, but just...
I like pepper in my soup.
I enjoy pepper in my soup as well. And then Cities and Knights would be like adding a banana to the soup. I mean, it's just this... It makes it into this bizarre... like it still is the same victory condition, but you've got you're raising like army building goes in a different way. You're building walls around cities, and it just becomes this goofy kind of parody of itself.
So it peppered banana soup is what you're
peppered banana soup is Cities and Knights of Catan, which I would not recommend. But, I don't know. That was a terrible analogy.
No, but, it's pretty good because it really makes me not want to play it. You know.
So. Yeah, but then again, I may not like it because I like the base game fine.
Uh-huh.
It may change it enough to where you like it.
Oh, really?
It may add enough complexity because it makes it really kind of overly complex for the game it is. But you may really like it. It may be kind of your cup of peppered banana soup.
But and, I heard that there was another expansion that just came out just this past year.
Traders and Barbarians.
That's it, yeah. And that adds even some other different elements. I've heard some good things about it.
Yeah, I am not very familiar with it, to be honest. I know it comes with like 7 different variants. You can kind of pick and choose. Okay. I know there's a 2-player variant, which I can't see how a 2-player game of Settlers would be fun.
No.
I mean, like, hey, you want to trade? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, next turn.
Boy, that sounds a lot like a 3, 4, or 5 player game of Settlers.
Yeah, it's all in the people you play with. I like playing with the big wheelers and dealers. But yeah, if you get, you know, 5 introverts around the table playing Settlers of Catan, yeah.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned wheelers and dealers because I think of a game like Bonanza, which is basically nothing but a big wheeling and dealing
and see, trading I hate Bonanza.
Sort of game. And I love that game.
Oh.
And I don't know what it is that's so different about it. Yeah, I really don't know. That game, you get the right kind of players in Bonanza. It is an absolute blast because you feel like a bunch of used car salesmen trying to make deals. Right? Yeah. But even if you don't have that, it still I think is a fun game. For some reason, if you get the right group of people, I could see Settlers being kind of fun. But with the wrong group of people, it is just an absolute miserable experience. Yeah. So
you know, I've never talked, and we're going on a Bonanza thing here. I've never talked to anyone who dislikes Bonanza. I feel like I'm the only one. Like, everyone I talk to that's played it or owned it, oh, I love it, it's great, it's the best game ever. I hate the dang thing.
Is it the theme?
No, the theme's goofy. I like it. I just don't like the game.
Okay.
But, so you gave Settlers another chance, and you're still...
I still got to give it a kind of a... definitely not a recommendation. I guess on our scale, I would... I guess I'd still have to call it a try, because it's...
If we were doing that scale.
If we were doing buy, try, or deny, sure. I would call it a try because I feel like it's like you said, the flagship of Eurogames, sure. and it should be in people's collections, I think. But it's still not something that is hardly ever going to come out on my table.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And that's gameoninbox@gmail.com, and you can direct that to John.
Well, so. No, convince me, though. I mean, if you have some variants or maybe just an argument that would help to change my mind about Settlers, I'm more than open to that. That's kind of what this show is sort of about.
You know what the strange thing is? I've got nothing for you. It's just one of those things like, oh, you don't like it. Because to me, you hit it on the head with... It's about the people and how you approach it, because I can't make an argument for that. It's like, yeah, if you play with, you know, people who just are duds, you know, where they're, you know, you want to trade? No. Okay. I mean, it can get tedious. So,
and I guess the argument could be made that if my biggest beef about the game is that I've played with dull people, that's not really the game's fault.
So I'm dull?
No. This last time was a little bit better. You know, it was a little bit better. But no, I think that it goes deeper than just, you know, being dull with certain people. Maybe have a little hard time quantifying that.
Sure. Is it the theme? Does theme have anything to do with it?
No, not really so much. Although, as a matter of fact, Gen Con this year sort of made the whole theme of Settlers of Catan a little bit better because they had this guy... Catan booth, he was the settler of Catan, and he wore this like neon green jumpsuit, and he carried a stuffed sheep underneath his arm, and he kept telling people, "Oh yes, I'm from Catan, and I'm so happy that they have made this game about my life on the island." And that was kind of funny.
Okay, so when it's all said and done, you still dislike Settlers of Catan, and you have ruined the Christmas spirit. Is that a correct statement?
I guess so.
All right, very good.
Well, let's move on now away from the evil.
This is what the people have paid for.
It's now time to talk about one of really my favorite games, Carcassonne.
Yes.
And Cody, I'd like to start off by asking you, over the course of many episodes of this show, you have expressed your disdain for Carcassonne.
True.
Now is the time to be able to lay it all out there and tell us, what is it about Carcassonne that you dislike so much?
this game is terrible. It has a horrible scoring system. Just words cannot describe how much I hate the scoring system. You've got meeples, you've got fat meeples, you have meeples on their side. You have people taking 20-minute turns deciding where to place a tile and how to orient it. There's like a bajillion tiles, and I just hate this stupid game.
Right, so wait a minute. Let's go back and deconstruct this a little bit. Are you anti-meeple?
You know, the meeples are okay, but, you know, it's like, well, that's a farmer meeple, and that's a, you know, that's a scientist meeple or whatever. You know.
Have you ever played this game?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, you have these different types of meeples, and you have fat meeples and big meeples, and
okay,
we the meeples. And,
you know. We the meeples. All right, well, so it's the scoring system you don't like.
That's the thing I hate the most.
Is the scoring system. Yes. Okay. Because it's difficult, or
I think it's difficult. I think it's difficult to do on the fly.
Okay,
I don't know. Maybe I'm just doing it wrong. I don't know, but it just seems it's very tedious. You know, and it's like, oh, did I do that tile yet? Did I do that city? Oh, I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't know. It just seems very tedious for what it is.
Is it some kind of like a bean counting game where?
Yeah. I mean, if it were a little more straightforward, I guess I would like it a little more, because I like the broad idea of just a very light kind of tile laying game. You can play with two people. You can play it at a coffee shop. You can play it, you know, it's just real laid back, but they make this scoring system and these different variables just so weird. And so what I think difficult to count up and difficult to quantify for just like a simple two player light tile laying game.
It's kind of abstract. I think
it's very abstract, and it's just,
and that's why I don't even know why I like the game so much, because I really hate most abstract games. But
what's wrong with you, man?
But I don't know. But I do. I guess maybe it's one of those things where I like it because I'm good at it. Most of the time, when I play Carcassonne, I do win. But I don't know why. I mean, it's not like I have some kind of special skill with that. But what about other versions of this game? Have you had an opportunity to play any other versions of the game? I know that I have. Carcassonne Hunters and Gatherers. I think you may have played that with me.
I've not played that with you.
You haven't? Okay, that's one of the fishing huts and the fishing meeples and the hunter meeples.
Oh boy! let me go back to the food analogy here.
Please.
I don't like onions.
Okay. Do you like them in your peppered banana soup?
No. Get away from the peppered banana soup here. I don't like onions.
Okay.
If an onion is blue, I still don't like it. If an onion is purple, I still don't like it. That is Carcassonne in the different versions to me.
It's a different colored
onion. Boy, it's Ark of the Covenant. It's Carcassonne and God. You know, it's like, I don't care.
So, all right. Well, but you also had a chance to have a second look at this game. And, I know it must have been painful for you, but after taking a second look at it, did you see anything different? Was your experience any better?
No. I went the extra mile. I played the Xbox Live version of Carcassonne.
Okay.
Which is actually a little more tolerable
because it's graphic-y and video and
I'm not ooh, flashies, you know. it tells you where you can place the tile and how you can rotate it. It speeds it up that way. You don't have 20-minute turns. I just don't like the game, buddy.
All right, okay.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. So on our scale, as a buy, try, or deny, after the second look, what do you think of Carcassonne?
Well, I mean, I have to give it a try just because it's some people's cup of tea. I mean, that's, you know, they like kind of a more complex, you know, two-player tile-laying game. Yeah, for me, it's an unequivocal deny. I hate the stupid thing.
Yeah, but I mean, some would say this is like the quintessential European Euro-style tile-laying game.
Well, I mean, that's two things. You know, Euro games and tiling. Where do I sign, you know? does it have dice?
No.
Does it have chits?
Well, the tiles are chits, I guess.
So no. And does it have a big bombastic theme?
No.
There you go.
Now, let me throw a little curveball at you here,
boy,
okay?
Here we go. All
right. And
Fantasy Flight Games presents Carcassonne.
I would love to see that.
I'll buy it. I'll buy 10 copies today.
No, but there are lots of expansions for Carcassonne.
Yeah.
And, you know, you played a couple of the Settlers ones. You were able to speak to those.
Right.
I haven't really ever played any expansions for Carcassonne. I own the Hunters and Gatherers version, which I actually like better than regular Carcassonne, but especially as a two-player game.
Is it that much different?
Yeah, I think so. It's got a couple of different elements in it, the fishing huts and everything. But they seem to be coming out with new versions and new expansions for this game all the time. Recently, just this year, they came out with a new expansion called Carcassonne the Catapult.
Oh?
And this actually introduces a dexterity element to Carcassonne. And I know from playing Sorry Sliders and other games that you do enjoy dexterity
games.
You're
making that up.
I am not making
this up.
There's
not a freaking catapult.
There is. It is an actual wooden catapult. And I don't know the exact rules. I have to go look it up on Board Game Geek because of what the exact rules are. But you're going to be launching these tokens onto the board. And I don't know if you're trying to like knock meeples off the board or stuff like that. But is that something that might improve your opinion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Given that, then I'm going to pick up that expansion and we're going to give it a try. You know, we want to kind of put this whole Carcassonne thing to bed a little bit for Cody. I mean, you know, if you don't like a game, you're allowed to not like a game.
Thank
it's okay.
You.
But I just want to see if this expansion might change your opinion about it
a
little
catapult.
Bit.
Oh,
a
that,
catapult.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's it called?
Carcassonne the Catapult.
Spaceballs the Flamethrower.
Spaceballs the Carcassonne the Breakfast Cereal.
Oh, I will play your catapult game.
Okay, that so
is,
if you...
That's fantastic.
You can come up with a catapult or dexterity element to Settlers. I'll play that one too.
I could just throw the pieces at you. If here, you catch.
This is really fun.
Exactly.
All right, well then...
In true Christmas spirit, we have not changed our positions at all. In fact, we have found new ways to loathe our respective games. Would that be a fair summary?
We have crossed our arms defiantly and turned away, and we still have not reconciled with these two games.
We say bah humbug to you, Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan, respectively.
Well, hey, I think this one makes for a great holiday episode. You know, I feel a lot of warm feelings right
indeed.
Now. So I think that just about wraps it up
let's
for us.
Let's go play Arkham Horror or something.
Yeah, let's go play Android.
Let's go play Android.
All right, we're going to dig that one out. But right.
What do you say we close out the show?
Let's do it.
And that wraps up another fun-filled and festive Game On with Cody and John episode.
That's right. We appreciate you listening, and we know it's a little slightly different format for this episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back in 2 weeks to bring you another kind of regular edition with all of our segments of Game On with Cody and John.
Right. If this is the first time you're listening to us, this, of course, is not the normal format for the show. So go back and listen to our older ones if you want. A more genuine feel of how a normal show goes, but
yeah, we've got 8 other episodes out, so go download them all and go check us out.
We're about to hit number 10 next
I know.
Episode.
Double
this
digits,
is big.
Huh? I know. So we'll,
longer than we thought we'd last, I think.
I think so.
And of course, we can attribute a lot to that to you, the listeners, and we respect any feedback, recommendations, praises, or snarky comments at the Game On Inbox. That's gameoninbox@gmail.com. Just send us an email there, and we will get back to you lickety-split. Our staff, that is the two of us, are real good about doing that sort of thing.
That's right. And if you want to check out our website at gameonpodcast.com, we've got a link to our Board Game Geek Guild, which is a place where we have forums and an image gallery and a lot of other stuff there. So we'd encourage you to check that out. And we also have a donation button. If you want to donate to the Game On cause, just click on that. And
catapults ain't free.
Catapults ain't free there. That's a good $15 for that catapult. So if you want to donate to that cause, feel free to click on that. We would definitely appreciate any donations you might want to throw our way.
And of course, one of the things we use donations for are for prizes, and we've got a great contest. If you want to win Battlestar Galactica, the board game, which is a definite favorite of John and I's.
A buy plus.
A fracking buy, if you will. You just send us an email to the Game On inbox and tell us why you deserve to get this game, and we'll pick the most worthy answer.
It's just that simple. Just lay it all out there. Why do you want this game?
And we want to see the creative juices flow. If it's three sentences and says, well, I think I should own it for many reasons, you're probably not going to win.
Well, you might. I mean,
no, you're probably not going to win. I'm raising the bar high. This is Battle Frack and Star Galactica.
I'm just content to raise the bar off the ground.
You got to start somewhere.
That's right.
So you got just a few weeks for that, so make sure you get them in. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Join us in 2 weeks where we're going to be talking about an interesting topic for the first part of the year, controversial games.
Ooh,
yes.
Well.
We'll be looking at some things that you might not, you may or may not want in your game collection. We're going to talk about that. And we'll have a great review of the brand new game from Bucephalus Games, Toboggans of Doom.
That sounds good. We will talk about that and much more on the next episode of Game On with Cody and John.
Until then,
game on. Something else we've got in the inbox is looks like a campaign book for Memoir 44 from Days of Wonder. It's a book with stuff. It's real great. You'll love it.
Why don't you just start that one over?
Let's do that.